everyone, and welcome back to another episode of What's Left of the Damage Report. I'm back in the studio. Things are broken. Nobody knows why. That used to be on. Doesn't work anymore. I don't know. You know, also, so I had a week off, and I haven't had a week off since last November when I got married, which was awesome, but not really a week off. I haven't had a week off in a long time. And so like now we're about to do the show, and I honestly have no idea if I've done everything I'm supposed to do to be able to talk for an hour about politics. Like, I'm looking around the desk, I'm like, were there things that are supposed to be here? But one thing we do have that's supposed to be here, and thank God is, it's Francesca Fiorentini who joins me now. How's it going?
Hi, John. I can't help you with the rest, okay? People saw me last Tuesday. You're fine. If I did it, you can do it. Hey, I believe in you, John.
You did great. You did great. Thank you so much. It was an awesome episode. I tuned in a couple times, and you guys were talking about some kind of hair product or something like that, but it was fun. I didn't get most of what was being said, Aquanet, but it was fun. And so thank you for holding down the first episode of that week and doing an awesome job. We had a great bunch of fill-in hosts and co-hosts. It was a lot of fun. Brett and Ben Dixon just spent an hour mocking me. I don't know if they knew I was listening.
Brilliant.
They suspected.
Oh, yeah.
They seemed direct.
They're like, you're not going anywhere. Did you go anywhere, John? Did you get away?
Yes, so we were supposed to go to Yosemite, which we've wanted to do. Both my wife and I really like nature. And the day before we were supposed to leave, we got a phone call saying our Airbnb has been canceled because, hey, what do you know? California's on fire and that area was being evacuated. So we decided to go to San Diego, which wasn't totally away from fires, but it was a little bit further from the fires. And we had a cool experience. We did some fun stuff. And now it's like, I've been sort of following the news. What is up with this country? What is up, America?
Still bad. I wish I could have reported like, you know, revolution and uprising. Well, there's uprising, but yeah, still bad, still bad. We haven't really quite turned the tables, John. I'm sorry.
Can I, by the way, I just want to say one extra thing. And I know that it was, we're a few minutes into it, but hey, you know, I've been on a vacation. I don't want to start working immediately. I discovered something over the past week. When I got back from San Diego, I decided, you know what? I want to be a little bit more responsible about my life in a few different ways. And there were two ways that I tried to be responsible, and I ran up against how terrible 2020 is. The first is that I have never really invested, both because I didn't have the resources and I don't come from a family that does that, so I don't know anything about it. And so even if I had a little bit of money, it would just sit in a savings account, which doesn't actually produce anything. So I decided for once, I'm gonna start. And that is when the like several months of stock market growth fell off a cliff. And so that's been exciting. So that I got in right before that. So that's cool. The other one is I wanted to be a little bit more responsible about my health. And so I decided, you know, I only live like 3.5 miles from work. I'm gonna start biking more. And my bike's pretty old. And so I decided I'm gonna get a new one, you know? And I discovered, did you know that like toilet paper and the webcams, you can't buy bikes anymore? Like there's none. No, there's none. Because apparently they're all made in China. And everyone is buying them because they can't go to the gym. It's like you go into bike stores, there's nothing there. They just don't have stock.
I did not know that. They're like, we have toilet paper though. Did you need that?
We do finally have the toilet paper. That's true.
Dang, oh, what a weird, not even used. Yeah, you gotta hit up. Maybe. I feel like, dude, I was trying to find a beach umbrella the other day. You know, when you could go outside, that took me like a couple weeks. Not gonna lie, the heat wave. Yeah, the heat, but between everything, the heat wave and Amazon basically buying up everyone's stock. And I was really trying to avoid Amazon, which is nearly impossible at this point.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, well, we're gonna talk about that heat a little bit later on in the show when we give an update on the fires. We're also gonna be talking about the rally. We've got interviews with Trump supporters. Hey, what do you know? Trump is apparently ordering federal marshals to hunt down and kill people. We've got a lot of stuff. It's an exciting time and the stakes are at least mildly high going forward. So that's gonna be fun. But for those of you who are already here watching, please hit that like button and share the stream. Let people know that we are active. And if you would like to chat along with us either in the comments, on Super Chat, Twitter or Twitch or any of that, Francesca and I will be responding as we go along. And with that, why don't we jump into this, Francesca?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. Over the weekend, Trump decided, hey, you know that whole pandemic thing? Let's not worry about that. Let's have a rally. And as fun as outdoor rallies are, you know what's more fun? An indoor rally. Let's pack them inside. And pack they did. Take a look at this footage of Trump fans trampling each other to be first into that building. Okay, maybe not tramples, but there was a lot of people pushing and shoving to get in there while Macho Man played on the loudspeakers, which you just gotta love. Like the idea, every one of those men definitely thinks that they're a macho man. And they don't need no mask, by the way. So yeah, that was a pretty big crowd. Apparently 5,500 people there over the weekend, Francesca.
Yeah, this is like, it's like Coachella. I mean, there they are. The doors are open. They're running.
That's pretty good. I like that.
I do kind of want someone to like Photoshop like a Godzilla or a monster behind them, because it kind of looks like they're running something. Oh, they have. Great.
I've seen
of course.
That.
The internet has provided as promised. Really, you're gonna, because here, look, I get wanting to maybe go see Trump for 15 minutes, total, like just fascination, even if you love him. It's gonna be a 4-hour event. Like, we realize how long they're gonna have to stand there getting infected and infecting one another. I mean, honestly, I wish we were watching a movie at this point, but we all know that like these are going to be super spreader events. I didn't see a mask. Yeah. Did you, any masks there? No.
I mean, you could see intermittent potentially, but there weren't a ton. What's interesting is that there were some masks once you were inside the event. Not generally, like you look around that room, there's basically none, but there was one area where there were some. So this is reported by WREG. Relatively few in the crowd wore masks, with one clear exception. Those in the stands directly behind Trump, whose images would end up on TV, were mandated to wear face coverings, which I'm sure they balked at since they're not gonna have the government tell them what to do. And the thing is, you can see this before and after when Kimberly Guilfoyle is speaking and then when Trump is, they only waited until right when Trump was gonna speak before they put them on. As if like resenting the fact that for a few minutes they would be relatively protected from this fatal illness. Yeah, and so they packed it in there to hear such presidential hits as, you need to press the dishwasher 1, 2, 3 times. Hey dear, the wind isn't blowing, and those sorts of things. That's like, I don't know what event I would die, like risk death to go to, but that doesn't seem like a great one, especially when he just says the same thing. They've already watched all that material.
Yep. Oh yeah. Also, the Kimberly Guilfoyle one, you know, they all know she had the Rona, so they're like, yeah, whatever, she had it. She's gonna infect us, but she's fine. She's probably immune. We don't really know about this virus at all, but yeah, I love that there was someone directing, like it was like a bad sitcom, and it was like when to applaud, when to laugh, when to cover your mouth for the cameras. And I'm sure that Trump spent a decent amount of time, as he always does in every rally. If you've ever been to one and covered it, you'll know, and you're in the sort of press pool, he will point directly at the press pool and be like, these dishonest journalists. And you're like, you know, early on it was like, we're here covering you. Like, we're literally giving you all this press. What are you doing? And you're already sort of singled out. You're just there, everyone's staring at you. Anyway, but yeah, it is like a sitcom. So ergo there should be a director.
Exactly. And we're not gonna play a bunch from the rally. We could, but I just got back from vacation. I can't take that at this point. We have one that we kind of have to play later on a different topic. But yeah, if you saw some of the highlights of it, there's like a period where he, because remember, he has to pretend to like these people and care about them, although it's going to become very clear in a couple of minutes how little he actually cares. So he has to pretend to actually care about them and to want to be there. But he's also a crazy out of touch elitist who's lived in a literal golden tower his entire life. So he starts talking about how mad he was that they had to land the plane and then take a 50-minute car ride to get there. And he kept complaining. And then he sort of realized what he was doing. And he said, no, but I don't mind. I love it. I love to come out here. But 50 minutes, like this minor inconvenience that he is whining about to these people that probably stood in the sun for literally hours to wait and see him. Many of them probably drove for more than 50 minutes to get there. And he's talking about Antifa and saying that they're simultaneously going to invade all of your homes. And then he has this new thing where all of Antifa's arms are skinny and they live in a basement. As there's a famous essay about fascism and some of the common tropes of it. And one of them that was identified, I wish I had the writer's name up, is that the enemy always has to be both all powerful and incredibly weak. Because you need to cow the population into being afraid, but you also have to give them hope that they can defeat these people. And they certainly don't need to respect these people. So at the same time, they're Antifa super soldiers. They're gonna break into every single house and kill everyone, but they're also tiny little Fortnite playing weirdos in their basement. The whole thing was just so surreal. It had nothing to do with any of the major challenges that are currently or will in the future be facing our country. And honestly, it shouldn't, because none of those people went there to hear about the fact that wages are stagnant, or you know, they don't want to be reminded of how horrendously the response to the pandemic went. They've spent months inoculating themselves against that sort of information. So the whole thing was just, it was a cheese grater for the brain, as so many things in 2020 are.
Yeah, many of them may die.
Really fast, Whitley Burks in the comments says, Umberto Eco is the individual who wrote that.
Echo.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Per favore.
Count on you.
Ecco. Eccole. Yeah, many of them are gonna die. I mean, that I love that he spent that much time whining, because it really shows you his soul. It shows you who he is, that he will complain about the most petty little thing, and that the cultish nature of his followers is such that they suddenly believe that, hey, maybe one day they too could complain about having to drive in their limousine for 50 minutes, or they're, you know, surrounded by security just to get to a rally to talk to, you know, people who have worms in their brain because Donald Trump and Fox News put them there. Like, that is their, you know, is that their goal? Like, what are they? And I also love, like, if, you know, is a Trump rally like a concert where you come back and you're like, man, he did the water pressure thing, but he didn't talk about Mexicans. You know,
it
like
it has to be, right?
It has to be. Like, you get mad that he didn't really go hard on Black Lives Matter. Like, oh, I'm bored with Antifa, but you know, he didn't talk about BLM and the way they're destroying Western civilization. You know, there's all that.
Yeah, the whole thing. Like, I'm out of practice. I've been gone for a week. All I have is just. I was telling you before the show started that I watched that Social Dilemma documentary, and I followed the news a little bit. I wish I could be an optimist. I don't know how anyone looks at the future and feels anything but dread, deep existential dread, Lovecraftian dread. How could anyone not be consumed by that right now? We, like, humans in the best of times, which didn't exist, there was never a best time, are not great. Everything around us is making us worse, and everyone is so incentivized and eager to show how terrible they are. So anyway.
Just think about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, John. It's all you gotta do, obviously, you know, in a non-creepy way, but that calms me. Thinking of her, thinking of Rashida Tlaib, thinking of Ilhan Omar and Ayanna Pressley, calm me. Like, their new leadership is on its way. We have to make sure that they can fight the BS, and that they, you know, we push them and support them and all the centrist Democrats that want to prevent them from shining. Yeah. So, and prevent our issues from being out there. But yeah, it's been a particularly tough week. I don't know if it's because you weren't around, but I feel like your absence lit a few of the wildfires and maybe contributed to a couple of hurricanes. I don't know. We missed you, is what I'm saying.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'll try not to rack up any more of a disastrous record like that. Yeah, I will only say, yeah, normally I would just turn to AOC. Have you been following on Twitter? She has not been active for a couple of weeks, really, at all. Occasionally, but just a little bit. What's up with that?
Where dude, as someone who barely ekes out one tweet a day, I'm like, girl, I get it. Sometimes you gotta legislate.
That's true. Yeah, it's not like she.
You know, like I'm legislating all the time. Slash, I don't know, making him.
By the way, on that one tweet thing, like there's other people who sort of do like the same thing as us that tweet all day long, and I just don't see how. Like I can't do it. I can't just like, it's like you have to just be scanning the feed and having opinions about everything that comes across. And I understand it works. You get the followers, you get the likes and everything, but I don't have it in me, okay? I leave it all on the road, and the road is TDR. So Trump had his massive indoor rally, 5,500 people. He says tens of thousands. It was apparently 5,500, which is bad enough. That seems a little bit dangerous, considering, as we've been saying, very few were wearing masks unless they were directly behind him. And so one of the Trump spokespeople was on Fox News and was asked tough questions about the choice to hold this sort of event, considering how bad the pandemic still is.
You see that and you think about the enormous sacrifice that we've made as Americans to stop the spread of this virus and to tackle this pandemic. And I'll just ask you, as a member of the president's campaign, why you saw this as a risk worth taking to crowd those people. Biden's camp obviously making the case that this could be a super spreader event. The governor has called it shameful, dangerous, and irresponsible to do this. Why do it?
Under the First Amendment, we are allowed to have a peaceful assembly of people, and we had hand sanitizer readily available, masks handed to every individual, and temperature checks.
Hey, I mean, this goes against the president's own administration guidelines. It goes against the CDC guidelines when it comes to coronavirus.
The American people can make the choice to join us in person or join us online. That's their right as the American people. We are reopening this country and safe.
Okay, so yeah, it's their choice. Okay, nobody's really doubting that. Although technically those events aren't even supposed to be allowed in that state, but Trump just gets to break those regulations whatever he wants. And she multiple times there, we trimmed it a bit, but she multiple times said, well, if people can riot around the country, they can come here. I get that that's like a talking point. It's like a Ben Shapiro type thing. To someone who already believes that that woman is awesome and great and would never lie to them, it seems like she's making a point. But what point exactly is that? That if other people are doing something irresponsible, your irresponsible behavior suddenly becomes not a threat to your health? How does that work physically?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me, but she has relied on that multiple times. And I've heard that sort of talking point from any number of different Trump administration officials to justify these sorts of behaviors, when we understand that the reason they're doing it is not because there's a riot somewhere, so I'm now protected against the disease. It's because Trump desperately wants people to slap their hands together in front of him. He wants to be showered by the noise of palms hitting each other. That's it. There's nothing more dignified, logical, or reasonable than that.
Yeah, I mean, also, you know, the whataboutism in this case actually doesn't work, because despite like record, you know, civil rights protesting, many, and if not the majority, 90% of the images that you will see from BLM demonstrations, people are wearing masks. Yeah. Two things, they're wearing masks and they're outdoors. Yeah, maybe there's not 6 feet of distance between every single person in every single moment, but by and large, outdoors and wearing masks. These indoor maskless Trump rallies are not that. You just can't compare them. So kudos to that, you know, Fox anchor for actually pushing back a little bit on this. But this is where this is the death cult that is Trumpism. This is the death cult that is the Republican Party. This is the death cult that says, even if we know we're slipping in the polls, we know we're doing badly, we know our president has completely messed this up, I'm willing to die and put my life at risk for this unreality that is a reality star president. I'm willing to put my life at risk because I will have died for the great white hope that tells me that white identity politics are more important than anything else that is happening in this country, when we know in fact it is inhibiting progress every single day.
Exactly. And it's just so much here that frustrates me. It isn't that they're gathering, that's bad enough. It's that they're not wearing masks. You saw the footage, they're not. Like, so she says, we had hand sanitizer and we handed out masks. Okay, were people wearing them and why not? In what way have you and your God Emperor contributed to them feeling like it is the greatest demonstration of American patriotism to stand and be infected by a disease, to not wear a simple mask? The easiest thing imaginable. Why are they not doing that? How many times did Trump, when he was standing at that podium, say, hey, you know, seriously, yeah, we've all got our rights and our freedoms and all of that, but it would be really responsible of you if you'd put on your mask. Did he say that once? No, he could have, couldn't he? Why didn't he? And she says there, she never really says it's safe to do this. She keeps reverting to other people are doing stuff or it's Americans' right to be here. Certainly. Certainly, and we'll get to why they're doing it, but I'm asking, or that reporter's asking, why are you providing the venue for them to be endangered in this way?
Yep.
So if I take a steak knife and I point it forward, it's up to you whether you run into it. That's your right, I guess. But if you run into it and then another person runs into it, a passerby gets to wonder why I'm holding a knife at a certain point. Yeah, we all have rights and freedoms, but why am I doing that? And especially if I've spent months using my platform to convince everyone that knife stabbings aren't a big deal. They probably won't even kill you. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, it's killing all the right people though. It's killing, not only that, it's, you know, it's killing the right people. It's killing black and brown people that we don't care about. It's killing essential workers that we don't value and we don't pay enough. It's all falling on these poor Walmart workers that have to stand and face down these maskless creeps. And that's not us, supposedly. We're that soon to be millionaire who's got to drive 50 minutes in order to come to this rally. That's us. We're not here. You know, we're not with all these other folks. And so, right, again, once again, it's incredibly racist, the logic that lies under that. But yeah, this is the sacrifice. Look, RIP Herman Cain, that was the sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah. He is sort of the greatest supporter in Trumpism because he paid the ultimate price. A lot of them want to prove to each other, like the reason they're not wearing the mask is because they want to show to the rest of them that they are virtuous. This is virtue signaling is not like tweeting, hey, I'd prefer if climate change didn't happen. No, like that, I guess technically is, but nobody cares about that. It's not harming anybody. But when you create an environment where the virtue that you need to signal is that you don't fear a disease that's killed 180,000 people, that you will become infected by it willingly, you will spread it to other people willingly, that's dark. Okay, that's something that maybe is worthy of conversations on Bill Maher or whatever. The other stuff seems like kind of a dodge, playing in a conservative framing. This is the sort of signaling that we should actually be a little bit worried about, I think.
Oh, so true.
If you are a Trump supporter and you listen to one thing I have to say, which you probably won't, I want you to listen to this because the biggest issue here is not that Trumpism and Trump and Trump supporters all agree this isn't a threat, you don't have to worry about it. If that was the case, that would be dark enough, that would be pathetic enough, that would be scary enough. But that isn't actually what's happening here because I want you to listen to a reporter's question to Donald Trump about that rally space. At one point, reporter Deborah Saunders confronted President Trump about the risk of contracting the potentially deadly contagion, asking, quote, aren't you concerned about COVID though, in an enclosed room? The president revealed that he was not concerned and when pressed, provided a potentially revealing answer, quote, because you know why? I'm on a stage and it's very far away. And so I'm not at all concerned. When Saunders asked the president, what about people here? Trump replied, I'm more concerned about how close you are, to be honest. So he gets the threat and he's protected from it by virtue of distance. He's not walking amongst that crowd because he understands, as he made clear to Bob Woodward, he understands exactly how deadly this is and he sure as hell isn't going to be infected by it. But all of you, all of the sheep, all of the Trump cattle that are hurt, that they're stampeding to get in there, he's fine with you getting infected by it because he's already got what he needs out of you. He got your claps. He saw your hats. He's happy. Now, if you go and die, which he thinks is a very real threat, that's a difference to him. There'll be somebody else in a red hat that'll queue up for the spot vacated by a few more Trump fans passing away from COVID. I know this sounds harsh, but you need to understand this. Your cult leader doesn't care if you live or die, and he is willing to be perfectly clear about that with reporters.
Oh, and he cares whether he lives or dies. He wants all the ignorance. He wants all the COVID. He just doesn't want any of it on him. So as long as he's on the stage and he's like, well, there was a perfect amount of distance. Thank you for your concern. I'm good. Like, no, buddy, that's not what we're talking about. And so again, the flip, cynical, nihilistic, megalomaniacal nature that he speaks, it is incredibly disrespectful. But again, we've lost these people. We've lost them a long time ago. I think there are some folks hopefully on the fence who are seeing this and are like, well, that's a bridge too far. Look, I'm racist, but not crazy. there are people who are still gettable. And once again, call the Karens in your life, call the Kevins in your life. I'm serious about this. Have those hard conversations, talk to them and show them just what little respect this president has for people's lives. If they voted for him last time, hey, maybe they can at minimum abstain from voting and maximum go the other way. So, but the 5,500 people in Nevada, they're gone. They're gone. They're lost. We need rehabilitation. Yeah. Dare I say re-education, but I'd be construed as Maoist. I'm not. But the point is it wouldn't hurt to send them away, a little summer camp. There's like people of color and immigrants you can like talk to face to face, see that they are like human, they are just like us. They eat food, they sleep, That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. It sounds fun. I would do that.
Yeah, here's the G spot on the woman. Here's how to pleasure one. Obviously with not real women, of course. Even the mannequins would need consent. There's a whole program, John.
You really thought this through. Why don't you've got to make a video ad for this summer event?
Yeah, rehabilitation. Jesus.
Okay. 5,500 Trump fans gathered at his rally over the weekend. But what did they think about the risk posed by gathering in these great numbers? What did they think about all this? CNN spoke to a few of them. Here's what they got.
It's a fake pandemic created to destroy the United States of America.
But the president said to Bob Woodward that there is a virus, the coronavirus, and that it is deadly.
That's his opinion. The truth is that the CDC said there's only less than 10,000 people die from COVID. The other 190,000 have 2.6 or 2.8 other mortalities.
Does it worry you guys at all to be in this crowded space?
I'm not afraid. Lord takes care of me. If I die, I die. We got to get this country moving. Can't we can do? Wear masks and stay inside for another year? Huh?
We needed like an actual solid month. That's what we needed. We never got that because of people like you. It wasn't a year that was going to break you. It was a day or two that broke you, unfortunately. It's a fake pandemic, Francesca. Nothing to worry about. It's made up because I saw a tweet. And so the CDC apparently confirmed something that they 100% didn't confirm and have been responding to ever since, in fact.
I'm seeing this all over the place. I just want to say, first of all, the sentence, it's not real. It's fake, designed to destroy America. Like there's a follow up there, which is, so is it working? Is it destroying America? What do you think? You know what I mean? Because it's like, you can't say it's fake and it's destroying us. So which is it? Because if it if it's destroying us, then there's something there. It's not actually completely made up. Even if you do think it was created in a Wuhan lab, that's fine. Let's go with that. Let's go with one of those, you know, delusions. Let's go with that delusion. So is it working? Have Americans died? Okay, well then the answer is, maybe the answer is no. Maybe the answer is yes, but there's a rabbit hole I want to follow here. But I just want to say that that ignorance and that line around people who have underlying conditions, like that's what they've been dying of. Okay, let's go with that delusion, which is not real, but let's go with it. So what if people who had COVID had other conditions? They also had COVID and they died of the COVID, but they happened to also have hypertension, some autoimmune disorder, diabetes, whatever they might have had. So what? So then what? Do you now care about their lives, or do you not care about their lives?
Nope.
Should we protect ourselves from COVID, or should we not protect ourselves from COVID? Because my supposition is that you're just trying to lead us down the who cares about those dead people
100%
place. And I'm not going there with you. I'm sorry, bro. Like I don't care if people have underlying conditions, whatever they have. I don't want people to die. Plain.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
And by the way, this is like, I get it that we're being way too fair in trying to construct a philosophical framework around this misinformation. It is just, hey, this tweet means I don't have to care about people. Woohoo! That's all it is. That's the extent of it. But okay, if you were to go a step further, what a novel concept that older people die of things because they're sick in other ways too. This must be the first time that's ever happened. That's new. You know, I've never really understood. They say like 35,000 people die every year from car accidents, but some of them were obese. I don't think it should count. They had comorbidities. None of this makes any sense. It doesn't mean anything. And by the way, and again, it's just woohoo, but if it wasn't just woohoo, if it was, you only have to worry about this if you have one of those comorbidities, which by the way, it's not rare stuff. It's like diabetes, having issues with your heart or your cardiovascular, like that's all Americans. If you eat American food, you have those comorbidities. I would like to follow up to that individual. I don't know him. You think he's like a perfect picture of health? You think he's got no issues? You think all those people in that crowd are just way healthier than everyone else?
Yeah.
Kind of doubt it. And to the second guy, I love this line. This line is so amazing and substance free. The good Lord takes care of me. I don't need to worry about the virus because something, something religious fatalism. The good Lord will take care of me. Okay, and again, I don't know this individual. Maybe I'm off base around him. Do you think he owns a gun? Will the good Lord take care of him in these situations where he thinks he needs to be strapped like he's wandering a patrol in Iraq? It never seems to go to those areas. It's pretty much just in the, I don't want to wear a mask. Good Lord, take care of me. You know what? Do you lock your door? Will the good Lord take care of you if you don't lock your door?
Right.
It's a very limited philosophy.
Well, yeah, no, the good Lord doesn't protect you from BLM demonstrators. Obviously, the Lord gave you AR-15s to take care of BLM demonstrators. Everyone knows that. That's, you know, you do unto others and, you know, Jesus is love. Jesus is boundless. Xenophobic love. That is where I get scared. The whole like, well, this is God's will, this is God's plan. Dude, if this is God's plan, God's trying to wipe us off the face of the GD earth. Like we are like it wants us out. These wildfires, hurricanes, a pandemic. If God made the earth, God wants us gone. God's like, dude, you killed what? However many percentage of like wildlife, right? Like in the last like decade have died. Like, no, I like cheetahs.
Yeah.
I like walruses. Walry is what I'm going to call them. I like, you know, I like orangutans. They're cuter than you. They're sweet.
They are.
What's an orangutan ever done? I mean, sure, muscled in on someone else's girl, probably killed the point is this. Humans are worse. Humans are worse. God wants to kill us. I mean, I've got eyes, I've got ears, I see it every day, and I'm trying to reckon with Mother Earth. John, please stop me before I keep talking about.
I know.
I don't
that's
know.
That's sort of my obligation. Yeah, the orangutans. I don't know. And I'm worried about them getting coronavirus too. So we got to keep people away from them. Yeah, I You know what, Skip, don't worry about the next CNN video because I don't want to hear these individuals again. But if you could cue up the one after that. I do want to read a couple of these graphics though, because Jeremy Dimon's a reporter that was at it. He spoke to an individual, said, you know, he's not worried about COVID or whatever. An individual's last name was Barber. And Barber said he's got no concerns about spreading the virus when he goes back home to Arizona, saying, quote, no, not really, because the only person I deal with on a daily basis is my wife and my dog. He notes his wife works at a grocery store and she's been fine so far.
Oh,
so
no.
you are standing amongst thousands of people with no mask. You could easily wear a mask, you're choosing not to. So you're endangering multiple levels of endangering your wife, which I'm new to the marriage thing. It's been less than a year. I think not killing them is kind of a big part of the contract there. And then you're gonna expose her to it and she's gonna go to work in a grocery store. That's a great idea. And think like, and I'm sure this individual doesn't think that he has an incredibly callous, heartless view of his obligations as a member of a community to protect other people's health. But like, not even saying don't go there, just put on the mask. Don't kill your wife. Don't infect people shopping at Avon's. These are not high bars. And I'm supposed to be the godless heathen, but I can maintain at least that level of concern for other people's well-being. There was another individual, this younger guy, I think he was 20 years old, named Hackett. Jeremy Dimon said, I asked Hackett about potentially exposing others because this 20-year-old said, I'm 20, I don't have to worry about it. He said he's not concerned, claiming he's pretty careful. Yeah, but it's thousands of people around you. What do you think careless would be, if not that? And then you're gonna go back and you're gonna spread it to everyone you know. Like think about family members, your friends, the people who you've self-selected as your group. You're saying, honestly, I couldn't be bothered to not potentially maim or kill them.
Yeah.
And these people have picked that up now, is this is the badge of honor. I am better than everyone else because I'm more willing to kill other people with this pathogen.
This is my right as an American. I mean, this is what the newest episode of News Broke, which everyone should watch, is about this idea of American individualism and individual freedom as being the only thing that matters in this country, and that we are so fractured and frayed, and we've got such a warped understanding of what freedom truly means in this country, which is the freedom to actually go outside and live, right? To actually be free from a virus, to go to school, to go to work, to not be infected. That we've warped that into, no, it's my freedom to be maskless in a Costco and yell at someone filming me. This is my freedom to infect others, to be infected, to die for a demagogue. That is my freedom. No, it is not. Yeah. That is utter BS. And it always and primarily is people who have a lot of class privilege, a lot of race privilege, a lot of gender privilege, who are okay to do that. Right, who they somehow think they're under attack. Well, guess what? People of color, women in this country have been living with their individual freedoms being stripped from them every single day, okay? Yeah. Try walking for living one day in the life of a Black American, you see how much you feel like your individual freedoms are being inhibited. So yeah. It is something we have to work our way out of, you know, we have to I think it's hard when we see this, but we have to remember the stats are that like only 7% of Americans don't wear masks. Now, it only takes 7% to infect a lot of people, but it is not the majority. I think the majority of us, even though we're super isolated from one another, we understand this is real. We want to protect one another and our communities and our families. So let's all like remember there may be brighter days if, you know, Jesus will take that man sooner than later, please.
I know, it's just crazy that like the vast majority of them are gonna be fine. They might infect someone else and that person might die. I lost a family member. They get to be as irresponsible as possible and they'll probably be fine. And I hope that they are. I hope that, you know, against all odds, it's not a super spreader event. Find it inconceivable that it won't be.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what it is. Let's touch base with state media. So we know that Fox for years now has been very positive towards Donald Trump, especially Fox and Friends. That's his favorite show, making it the most important news show in the world. But they have to keep him interested, which means pushing the boundaries of all sorts of things. Take a look at this intro, apparently played at the beginning of each of the 3 hours of their program. That's it. It was just rally footage of people shouting that they love him, and the Fox and Friends team added, "We love you, we love you," knowing that Trump is watching that. They made that message just so that Trump could see it, that they love him. And it's just normal. It's that show is 1,000 times bigger than TDR.
So, and this is John, I mean, that is just sad. That is like, it should be just followed up with, "Your daddy didn't, but we do. Your daddy didn't, but we do." You know, like that's all we, this is what this country has come to, is just soothing the unmet needs of a neglected child who had everything handed to him and managed to F it up at every single point in his life and career, and is now running a financially broke campaign and trying to cheat in order to win in November. Cool, cool, cool. What I will say is this, it is completely irresponsible for Fox News, which we know all of these people who've been poison pilled on the coronavirus have been watching, to not have one story. And I'm curious, tell me if I'm wrong, has there been a story where someone who said, "Look, I went out, I partied, I wanted to go to a wedding, or I wanted to do X, Y, or Z, I went to a rally, and I got myself, my family infected, and now they're gone." And we've seen those stories are everywhere, right? You had that daughter who spoke at the DNC, yes, you know, and again, yeah, it shouldn't be political. She should be speaking at the RNC as well, who said, you know, "My dad listened to the president and now he's dead." You know, he wanted it to be over. He wanted to, the president, who, yeah, of course you're gonna believe somehow still now. And so anyway, those stories, there's thousands of them. And it's Fox's responsibility to be interviewing those people. I don't expect you to have sympathy for, like, I don't know, nurses, essential workers, that's fine. But someone who lost a family member because they went out to, you know, to an event, and they're writing op-eds that are like, I shouldn't have gone. Please don't be stupid. Quote, "Don't be stupid like me."
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's callous disregard. It's recklessness.
It is. And it is so difficult on anything. I don't think it's unique to coronavirus. Like, we, for a long time, the joke has always been that Republicans, in large part, especially the elected ones, can't have any empathy for the LGBTQ community until they eventually individually come out as LGBTQ or have a daughter or a son. It's such a narrow circle. And in this, like, you know, Herman Cain died after going to one of those rallies, and his Twitter account is still tweeting that the virus is a hoax. So, but I did, there is one thing that I forgot to say in the section where we were talking about the Trump supporters, the ones who, "We love you, we love you." The thing that I actually learned watching those videos is that I have been wrong about how much they take their cues from Trump. I thought it was 100%. It's not quite 100%, because you did see multiple Trump fans there saying, that's his opinion, that it's patriotic to wear a mask, or yeah, he says it's deadly, but it's not. Because the thing is, they can apparently disagree with their God Emperor.
Yeah.
But it's in areas where they would prefer if he was telling them that which makes their life easier and require less effort, physical and cognitive. Like, he exists as a politician to tell them, all of your hatreds are appropriate and right. All of your xenophobia is the best way you can be. You don't ever have to think, just believe whatever you want. But where he has occasionally, even just like briefly implied a bit of social responsibility or individual effort that needs to go into this, they apparently will diverge from him there. Yeah. If he is making their life even 1% more difficult or socially aware, they can apparently buck him. So I don't know if that's a positive, but I did learn that through this event.
I mean, they bucked him in the wrong direction. But I just wanna say, like, this is the natural progression of what a party that doesn't believe in science has led us to. This is absolutely the Republicans' fault. This is the Democrats' fault for not you know, pushing back on this, for not holding Republicans' feet to the fire when they deny climate change, or when they say that, you know, life begins at conception and that a zygote, you know, can do the SAT. You know what I mean? Like, this is what happens when you don't believe and you're encouraging people to not believe in science because it's going to take away from your donor base, because it's going to anger a few right-wing Christians. Like, yeah, I know, we're gonna trample all of like women's reproductive justice, and we're going to make sure that we dig up and burn every last piece of fossil fuel on this planet Earth, you know, for our wealth and our re-election campaigns. So like, of course. Of course, if Trump wasn't around right now, you would still be seeing people gathering in large groups saying it's their American right. And you would have a Tom Cotton, a Ted Cruz, somebody else would be capitalizing on this. But this is the natural progression of what Trumpism has meant for this party, has meant for this country. He is, like I've always said, like a little mushroom that grows like on the, you know, on the gym, sweaty gym shorts of Ted Cruz. Like, this is what happens. Ugh. When you don't wipe properly, okay? Republicans haven't been wiping properly. Trump grew out of it. You know how when you don't wipe properly, a mushroom grows out of your butt, John?
I don't know.
Yeah, we all know that. Jesus, you're on one today. What was going on while I was gone? Trump was recently interviewed by noted journalist Jeanine Pirro, and the topic of Michael Forrest Reinall came up. Obviously, he had been killed while being arrested in questionable form. Police apparently shot him without warning or trying to arrest him first, according to witnesses. You know, but we're not gonna let that stop Trump from trumpeting this as a good thing. So take a look at this and think seriously as you watch this video about what Trump is saying here.
He sent in the US Marshals for the killer, the man that killed the young man in the street. Just shot him. I mean, it was on television. Cold-blooded killed him. He didn't like his hat, or he didn't like something, and it wasn't a Trump hat.
Right. It was peaceful.
It was
prayer.
It was a lot, it was a religious hat.
Right.
And he shot him cold blood. 2.5 days went by, and I put out, when are you going to go get him? And the US Marshals went in to get him. And in a short period of time, they ended in a gunfight. This guy was a violent criminal.
A lot of them out there.
And the US Marshals killed him. And I will tell you something, that's the way it has to be. There has to be retribution when you have crime like this. There can't be guys standing up that want to fight. They want to fight. You can't throw bricks at people with shields.
But the problem, Mr. President, you and I both
agree. So she says you and I both agree. So just to be clear, with the need for vindication, there has to be retribution. She agrees with that. So like, Francesca, this is where we're being hyperbolic and worried about what Trump represents and how he might be different than past politicians. But you just saw that video. It seems pretty clear what sort of philosophy he's laying out there.
Yeah, it is tiresome and it is difficult, because Trump is again, you want to look away, you want to stop thinking about it. We all know racism and structural inequality has been the backbone of this country for so long. This is different. He is inciting violence. He is happy about white extremism. His DHS department, as I know you all reported last week, downplayed the problem and the threat of white extremist anti-government violence. And this is what it's come to. And that is a win on all the 4chan, you know, channels, or however they're communicating, the smoke signals that they have to communicate in. That's a win for them. They're saying that Kyle Rittenhouse, who killed two people in Kenosha, was justified. They're saying that, you know, this man who killed, you know, he killed someone in the Patriot Prayer, but there was no due process. When was he arrested? Where was his justice, right? Where was his day in court? And we know Kyle Rittenhouse will get his, right? Instead, again, multiple witnesses have said that this was just a cold-blooded murder, straight up. The coroner in Olympia, I believe, said that this was a homicide. And Michael did have a gun. This man who was killed, he did have a gun, but it was unclear whether he even had him, and definitely whether it was pulled on police officers. Witnesses say that no, that it was just an execution. it is chilling. And again, I just like, we're so far down in this hell world that we have to remember what we're talking about here. Like, we're not, yeah. He didn't kill. It's just, anyway, it's frightening.
Yeah, and I mean, we could mash up his comments there about this individual who said in an interview that he did it as self, like to protect another person. I have no idea. I don't know all those facts, and there's a lot that we probably don't know about. And then how he talked about Kyle Rittenhouse, about how this is a guy who went to protect private property or whatever, and he's the best thing ever. It could not be more stark. There won't be a single Trump fan will be like, well, wait, that seems kind of inconsistent that you think the guy that killed multiple protesters and then ran across state lines to evade justice is a hero, but this guy is the worst criminal ever. No, it doesn't matter. Like, and I'm not gonna play the videos because you already know. You already know exactly the difference in how they talk about those two things. And so we're left as the crazy people that just watched the president of the United States say there has to be retribution.
Yeah.
And said, and who knows if any of this is true, because Trump lies so frequently, even about what he has said and done, that we don't know. But he implied there that he called for the marshals to go and kill that guy.
Yeah.
Did he? I don't know. Let's say he did, though. Let's say he said, go and get that guy, kill him in the streets, because that is apparently what happened. They did not go to arrest him. They went to gun him down in the streets, and they did that. So what is it? Is there gonna be an investigation? Is Congress gonna look into it?
Right.
If we find out that Trump did that, is he gonna get in trouble? No, nothing would happen. The Republicans would still protect him. We could find out that any number of people were lying or concealing evidence to protect him. It wouldn't matter because none of that matters anymore. We are so far beyond any of the normal mechanisms of our government. We're literally talking about the president possibly putting out a hit on an American citizen, which is certainly not unprecedented in American history. But this seems pretty stark. And I already know there's not, like, you're not gonna hear about this story in 48 hours.
No.
It's not gonna be an investigation. It's not gonna be consequences or anything like that. And this is probably the beginning of more of this. He wants his followers to go and kill people, and he wants the marshals to go and hunt people down as well.
And this is where, like, and you're absolutely right. Places like CNN, MSNBC, mainstream media outlets should be talking about him. Yes, it's hard to no one's defending Michael. No one's defending him shooting and killing someone. Absolutely not. What we're defending is due process, some kind of justice. We're defending the fact that yes, maybe the president just ordered a targeted strike on an American in the country, in the United States. You know, talk about an isolationist, you know, America first, we kill Americans first. Like, that's what he's just done. And are we going to investigate it? Are we going to, yeah, you're exactly right. This should not fall from headlines. It is absolutely frightening. And it also says, and this is what he's gearing up for. And again, as we all have to find our peace and meditate and find that moment, we also have to prepare ourselves for the fact that Trump absolutely wants to start some kind of race war, what he believes and what some of his followers believe is a race war, right? And even I would say in some of those interviews that, you know, Michael Reinhold, this guy also, he was like, I believe there's a race war. Well, he's also wrong. We don't have to escalate the tensions in this country to death, to violence. We already have a pandemic that's trying to wipe us out. We have to be in the business of de-escalating. We have to be in the business of actually remaking the police so that they actually do their damn jobs, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's chilling, and we've definitely passed the Rubicon on this one.
Yeah, and by the way, it's really funny that you use that expression, because Jeanine Pirro used that same expression on when he's going to declare the Insurrection Act is in effect and he's gonna put down these riots. She said, when are you gonna cross the Rubicon?
Oh.
That's literally the beginning of the end of that democracy, and it's being used as this positive thing. Like, come on, when are you gonna finally like dispense with this whole democracy thing? I would argue that we've crossed that quite a bit ago. Okay, let's proceed directly into our next story, because there's a lot of news. We're not gonna get to everything, but I want us to get to as much as possible. And like, I just, it multiple ways he's now calling for just killing us in the streets, and his followers love it. Like, what are we supposed to do as a democracy? Like, a tough question from a journalist in a White House press conference? Oh, really put him on the spot about the fact that he's calling for his political opponents to be gunned down? He doesn't have to hide from that. That's what his fans want. I'm not gonna play you the video, but at the rally, he said the US Marshals did a great job. Not tragically had to kill this person while trying to arrest them, said they did a great job and the crowd cheered. This is what they want. You can't shame someone away from their entire draw to their audience.
Yeah.
And it's life and death.
Where are the Democrats? You know, where are the Democrats every single day talking about this? Like, are we just going to wake up, you know, and democracy's done and Pelosi's like, well, you know, young people should have voted more. Like, oh, come on.
It seems like that, yeah. Fires continue to spread seemingly unchecked across not only California, but other states in the West. More than 16,750 firefighters were battling 29 major wildfires across the state as of Sunday, according to Cal Fire. 29 major fires simultaneously. Fires have burned 3.3 million acres in the state in 2020, and we are still very much in the thick of this thing. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I read that at one point, in the last few days, it was either the top three or top four worst fires in California state history were burning then. Like, not over the course of the year, over the course of the decade, were presently burning. And you know, I don't know how bad it is up in San Francisco, although I saw those photos not long ago. But yeah, LA is still incredibly smoky. All the way down to San Diego, when I was down there, it's you can see. I mean, you can check the air quality index and all of that, but you don't have to. You can look outside and you can see the red sun like bearing down on us. How has it been more north in California, Francesca?
I'm not there, but I know it's awful.
Oh, I thought you were in the San Francisco area now.
Currently, John, I'm here.
I've apparently lost my mind. Okay, I apologize.
You've lost your mind.
Yeah, I thought that was
no, but all of my good friends and family are up there. And yeah, it's awful. It's still really bad. It goes all the way through Oregon. I think Oregon's got some of the worst air quality right now. And on up to Washington State, there's like, I think 600,000 acres have burned in Washington State, 1 million acres have burned in Oregon, and 3 million acres have burned here in California. And you know, we are blue states. These are all blue states. So what are we doing? Why haven't we stopped this? And you know, I think Gavin Newsom's done minimal good. Minimal leadership. The bar is so low when it comes to any kind of leadership right now. But he did allow, you know, signed a bill that would allow formerly incarcerated people who served as firefighters to more easily become a firefighter once they leave prison. Yay.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Good. Maybe pay them more. Maybe stop taking oil and gas money. Maybe keep it in the ground. Maybe stop allowing more licenses to drill. Just a thought.
I mean, I'm all for them to be being able to become firefighters. I just want them to have less to do when they become one. I don't want them to be desperately needed. And honestly, like you're totally right about the bar. For California level politicians, he gets to be among the best, basically coasting through this thing. Because Nancy Pelosi, where are senators? There's nothing. There's no leadership whatsoever. Like, I don't see how more apocalyptic it could be than that San Francisco looked like the first city on Mars. And it doesn't lead to anything, not even a speech. Obama said this is proof we need to vote or something. But for what? What are we voting for that will then fix it? I don't want it to look like Olympus Mons in California. I don't want 3 million, I don't want like this 3.3 million acres burned in California in 2020. I don't want to look back on that in a video I do in 2022 as like some sort of fond memory. That's not what I want. 35 people have died so far, 24 in California, 10 in Oregon, a child in Washington State. The damage has been just so brutal. Like somebody pointed out that one fire, the one that was started by the gender reveal party, which should at this point just be outlawed because they are like one of the most irresponsible things you possibly do, has done more damage than all of the BLM protests or riots throughout the entirety of the year. And that's indisputable.
But did they burn down a Target, John? Was there?
I think it probably burned down quite a few Targets, I would have to assume at this point. And the fires are still raging. Dozens of major fires scattered across the state. I want to read this one story because maybe sometimes talking about the statistics and stuff is too it's too zoomed out. You need to focus in on a personal experience. So there was an individual, Chris Toft. So he was driving back into the fires to find and hopefully save his son and his wife. So he gets in his Jeep, struggling to navigate a road once so familiar, but now shrouded by smoke-filled darkness. Chris Toft almost ran over what looked like a bikini-clad woman on the road. Once he was closer, he realized she was wearing underwear. Her hair was singed, her mouth looked almost black, and her bare feet were severely burned. He impatiently tried to help her into his car, explaining how he needed to find his wife and son, feeling like she was resisting. Finally, she spoke, "I am your wife." He had no idea. And his son was later found, had died in the fires.
Oh my God.
We are just galloping towards more of this, of a wider and wider fire season across multiple states that'll do more and more damage in terms of lives lost and property damage every single year. And if you dare to talk about policies at the scale to which they might actually be able to fight back against this, that's the extreme thing. These fires are not extreme, totally normal, don't even pay attention to them. AOC, too extreme. Ed Markey should probably be primaried. Those are the extreme things in America. Not, you know, Mad Max style weather patterns and fire tornadoes and all of that.
Absolutely. And not to mention, you know, the fact that the very fires that are burning are now contributing even more to the CO2 in the atmosphere, the amount of greenhouse gases that will be trapped because of this smoke, you know, from emissions and airplanes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Once again, though, you know, we were talking about this on the Bituation Room, my podcast with Anna, who came on. And
everyone should watch it.
You watch it, listen to it. The state senate in this state in California, such a blue state, it's bought. It is bought by the oil and gas industry. There are lobbyists that are, you know, swimming around them like sharks. They take them on fancy vacations when they can't, you know, when they've maxed out on their donations. We have to repeal Citizens United. We have to make dark money illegal, and we absolutely have to elect better state senators. It happens on your local level, you guys, and it happens when we pit jobs against the environment. This is not a separate issue. Green jobs is possible. You know, we got Van Jones talking about it back in, you know, 2007 or 8 or whenever. Now you've got AOC and others with the Green New Deal. Now is the time. You think Mother Nature cares who's in the office? No. Mother Nature does not care whether we get Trump out of office. This will still be apocalyptic come next year and the next and the next and the next. So we need to stop immediately. Immediately. Let's do it, man. Let's run for state senate. Let's flip these places. Let's actually get elected officials who are accountable to us and who understand the gravity.
I mean, I'll support you. Let's make that happen. Queen Bee in the state house. Let's see it. 100%. And look, man, we do have a good number of people. It's just a question of whether it's going to be enough fast enough. Like in some alternate reality where we had the squad coming up in the early 90s, I feel more comfortable at that point. And I just don't know that the scale of what we're fighting against. And when I say that, I could be talking about literally any level. I mean, the amount of money that goes towards the incumbents, the mass media and their effect on these elections in helping to make it as difficult as possible for progressives, the way social media is, the algorithmic support for right wing talking points. I mean, we've so many challenges that we have to get past. Throughout the pandemic, we have been touching base with one industry above all others, and that is the meatpacking and sort of industrialized agriculture and food production industry. Because the record in dealing with the coronavirus has been absolutely abysmal from very early on in the pandemic. And we've only been getting more and more information confirming that as time has gone on. So I thought, why don't we touch base with the actual toll so far and what's being done about it? So as of right now, our best estimates, at least 42,534 meatpacking workers have tested positive for the novel coronavirus in 494 meat plants, and at least 203 meatpacking workers have died since March. That is a lot for one industry. One industry that probably the vast majority of people watching this don't know a single person that even works tangentially related to it. For that amount, super spreader event after super spreader event is just devastating. So let's talk about a couple of plants in particular. At the Smithfield plant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, almost 1,300 have tested positive for the coronavirus and 4 have died. That's one plant. At the JBS USA plant in Greeley, Colorado, 290 have tested positive and 6 have died. Mm. Now, this is disproportionate amount at just a couple of plants. And apparently that was what it took for the US government to finally do something about it and levy some fines against those plants. Now, you want to know what those fines are? A financial penalties for the two plants that we just talked about, $29,000.
Did the meatpacking workers even make that in a year?
I don't know.
I wonder.
$29,000. Now, OSHA defended itself saying that is literally the maximum fine that they can levy. And I guess that's true. I'm not shocked in the least that the law is set up in that way, that you can just willy-nilly let, you know, thousands of your employees get sick, multiple die, and you lose $29,000. But I thought, why don't we put it in a little bit more perspective? So $29,000, I mean, if that hit me, maybe Francesca, that's gonna hurt. Maybe not for these companies, because in reporting its fiscal year 2019 results, JBS reported a net revenue of $51.7 billion.
Oh my God.
That $29,000, like, that's not even a rounding error. You could set up an office space style hacking thing and they'd never even notice it. $29,000. Like, somewhere a JBS executive, when he saw that that was the fine, orgasmed. I guarantee it. Because the idea, this is like dark.
It's cruel.
Something.
It's super cruel.
This is too surreal. $29,000. Like, what? It wasn't that someone's like something fell in someone's foot. Thousands of employees got sick because they didn't care. And the employees have been doing great work ever since to make sure that people, journalists, know what's going on there, how little protective equipment there is. They're not using dividers and things like that. They're only now being forced to start to do some of this stuff. We are months and months into this thing. $29,000.
Guys.
And I think it's on us.
It is. Our previous story talking about forest fires and climate change, this story talking about the meat industry. Look, I am not a crazy, you know, anarchist vegan, but mostly because I'm a coward. But I am a vegetarian and I will tell you this, stop eating meat. It's a beautiful time, beautiful time. There's no better time to stop eating meat than right now. Just minimize it. Do meatless Mondays, do meatless Tuesdays, do meatless maybe all days. Beyond Burgers are actually pretty good. Limit your intake. Now, is this gonna deprive people of jobs? No. Will it slow down the line so that workers can actually take a breather and can go wash their hands when they need to? Yeah, maybe. Do you think JBS or whatever can take that hit financially? Yeah, they definitely can. If you don't believe me, go watch some pictures of little cute piglets on Instagram. There's one who I think rides a skateboard and it's adorable. And I will never eat bacon after watching that.
You know, just to add a little bit more, like, you know, I don't know how much you were into like cyberpunk growing up. Like, you know, these like sort of dark dystopic futures where corporations rule everything. And it's like, I think that we thought that we would know that that was happening because everything would be much more neon-y. But what if it wasn't neon-y, but it was still happening? Like, and you couldn't hover car, but because JBS, massive corporation, made $50 billion. And Bezos made four times that in the last quarter. I mean, the numbers get so large at a certain point in so many different areas, coronavirus deaths, the amount that these corporations make, that we're just monkeys. That's all we are. Our minds can't comprehend these sorts of things. I am trying my best. I'm a very hardworking monkey.
Would you say we're orangutans, John?
They seem more dignified. I think we're, I don't know. We aspire to one of the more social primates. I don't know. Anyway, just huge numbers and 29,000, and that's probably it. That's probably it. And honestly, like, let's say Biden gets in, is he gonna significantly strengthen the ability of OSHA to levy fines that are 100,000 times bigger than that? I don't know. I hope so. Kind of doubt it. But we'll see. You know.
Okay, I would say eat the rich. But there aren't enough of them, you know?
People have their meat. And sometimes when they're young, the rich can be cute. You put them on a skateboard or something.
That's true. And then I won't eat them. That's how you get me to not eat something. Just put them on a skateboard as a small being. I don't eat that.
I'm gonna start sending you videos of vegetables on skateboards, and you're gonna be crap. Anyway. Look, in terms of the polling, things are looking okay for Biden, but you should be worried. I know that I'm worried, and Bernie Sanders is apparently worried too. Here's a little bit of Bernie talking about what he thinks Biden should be using this time for, followed by a Biden team response from Simone Sanders.
He's in an excellent position to win this election, but I think we've got to do more as a campaign than just go after Trump. Trump is a disaster. I think most people know it. But we also have to give people a reason to vote for Joe Biden. And Joe has some pretty strong positions on the economy. And I think we should be talking about that more than we have.
Are you going to take that advice?
Well, George, look, we know that we have work to do, and we have said from the beginning, and Vice President Biden has been very clear about this, as has Senator Harris, that we are really working to earn every single vote in this country, and we want to earn the votes of the Latino and Hispanic community.
Okay, so that seemed like a sort of evasive or defensive sort of response to what seemed like fairly benign critiques from Bernie Sanders there.
Yeah, it was not only defensive, it was nothing. So it just made her look really bad and the Biden team look really bad. It's like she was preparing for this really big takedown of the campaign when he was just like, Biden's got a really good economic plan. Maybe you guys should talk about that more. And she was like, how dare you, Latinos? Like, you're not even really going after Latinos in the way that the Sanders campaign was. Like, you're not actually targeting them. You know, we all know who you're targeting. You're targeting people who voted for Trump, Midwesterners, mostly white people, former Republicans. And my God, don't we all hope that strategy works? That being said, there are a lot of organizations that are endorsing Biden that do work with communities of color and are more grassroots, who are pulling and doing an incredible amount of work. But yeah, that's not the right way. That's not even the right way to handle a critique.
No. And look, I think it was very clear from that video that Bernie is doing everything he can to get Biden elected. Although probably like in 2016, it's probably gonna get him to be attacked from, you know, all sides basically. But he really does want him to get elected. And look, of the things you can say about a candidate as a critique, hey, you've got some okay ideas, maybe talk about those. That seems like the nicest critique ever. It's not really, it's not even real. It's the opposite of a nag. It's a pause, really. It sounds like a critique, but it's kind of a compliment. And so I know that there was some back and forth on Twitter about it, about Bernie Sanders, and they shouldn't be taking advice from losers and things like that. God. But like, do they get why the criticism is being levied, or why someone like me, the diehard Bernie Sanders supporter, agrees with these criticisms? Because we don't want Trump to win and we don't want you to lose. Like, there's all sorts of legitimate reasons that Biden could lose this that are not necessarily in his hands. But there's a lot of really easy ways that he could mess this up, that he could not go to the right states, like literally repeating some of Hillary Clinton's mistakes, not talking about the issues that still remain very much on people's minds. You know, I'm shocked that people are actually thinking about some things, that they actually are consciously engaging with, you know, economic policy and things like that. It doesn't seem like it online, but if you poll people, they do think that these things are very important. And so, yeah, you need to be talking about those. You need to be doing as many events as possible, not live indoor packed events or things like that, but he should be out there far more than he is. And if he just sort of keeps a low profile and the only things that stick out are the debates, how comfortable do you feel about that as a strategy? Because I don't at all.
I mean, if he whips out the debate that he had with Bernie, I'd feel better about it. But it's funny because and if he doesn't, I'll be incredibly angry. And I know we're gonna talk about the debates obviously when they happen, but the last thing I wanna see is for candidate Biden, who went super hard at Bernie, to then just soft pedal on Trump because he's trying to get Trump supporters somehow for some reason, right? Like not the ones that he doesn't already have. We understand they're gone, but like if he tries to soft pedal and tries to like, all we wanna do is come together, bro, and heal, man, and no malarkey, and man, look at me in the eyes, and don't you hate the KKK? No, he loves them. Like that would be such a loss to me if he's not as combative. But absolutely, it's, look, I'm not saying that an economic message is going to win all the time, but for even just in earlier in the comments talking about small businesses and the way, or businesses and the idea that this president cares about business owners is utter BS. So implode that, talk about that, talk about that Trump inherited this an Obama economy. Talk about the ways that businesses are being gouged right now, small businesses, whereas giant corporations are not, right? And that they need to pay their fair share while smaller businesses shouldn't have to pay what those giant corporations pay. So like, there's so many ways, talk about unionization, people out of work. There's so many ways you can go with this. I do think though, and John, you're right. And I think that from folks I've spoken to, it is about meeting people. It is about talking to folks as six foot away distance as possible, but going to these communities, you know, and not talking about analogies and anecdotes that involve leg hair and corn pop. Like just avoid that.
Just avoid that. You know what we could have? Let's have some massive drive-in rallies. You can safely do drive-in movies, do a drive-in rally. Why? Like you can make these things happen in a responsible way. You really could. There's a lot of different ways that you could do that. I'm just very worried. And by the way, I'm not one of the online lefties that's sure that his strategy is wrong. It's you know, I never am that sure that I'm right. It's one of the reasons I'm not more popular. People who do this sort of job are supposed to imply that they've never been wrong and they're always right and they're always great. But maybe just saying, hey, soul of America or something, maybe that'll work. Because Trump's awful and crazy and terrible, and a lot of people are sick of it. Maybe that'll work. But I don't think that you have to restrict yourself to that. I think you can do all sorts of ads about how Joe Biden's nicer than Trump. You can do all of that, but you can also give them some concrete things to grasp onto. I mean, think about it, even Trump is pretending to do that now. Like when he says, I'll have a health plan for you in 2 weeks. Sure, it's a lie and it never comes, but he wants you to think he's working on it. He did his executive order today, that like sham executive order to lower prescription drug prices. He wants that to generate a news cycle of him caring about your health. Like it's BS. But he's trying. I just want Biden to try in that way. And he's got the best allies possible if he goes down that road. If he wants to dispatch AOC to do these drive-in rallies all around the country, I'll help set him up. I'll work, you know, closely with AOC to set those up if they want. I'm just saying he's got it. Just use those tools that you have.
Absolutely. Look, Dave Chappelle has been in North Carolina or Ohio doing like a comedy, stand-up comedy summer camp all summer long. And that's awesome.
Really?
For the people, yeah, all summer long. So wouldn't that be interesting to have like an outdoor, you know, I'm gonna set up in Wisconsin or Michigan or other states that actually matter since our state does not, Florida, Nevada, and you set up, everyone's distance, gonna be there for a week. Come one, come all, we've got plenty of Purell, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, wouldn't that be interesting? But no, I mean, it's, I do think we need to see him out of his sort of comfort zone Zoom backdrop kind of thing. We need to see him out of the lives and yes, talking about something else other than remember goodness.
Yeah. It's got the feel of like that Sam inspirational speech to Frodo about the taste of strawberries or something like that. A lot of Americans can't remember the taste of food.
Especially with COVID, we can't taste anything.
Exactly. Okay, we're way over, and I can only imagine what the producers are thinking of me right now. So we should probably call it. Is there any chance that your cat is nearby? Because we've hit 2,500 likes.
Oh, that's amazing.
Cat nearby?
No.
No, okay, well, maybe another time. But we did get to see a bee, so that's good. Francesca, as always, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you for everything you did last week. I really appreciate you stepping in.
Thank you, John. We like that you're not a blowhard. We like that you have nuance. That is why everyone is here. And have a good week. Stay safe.
Thank you. Wait, where can people see your other work? I heard you had an awesome show with Anna Kasparian.
Oh, hey, yeah, the Bituation Room podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts or on my YouTube channel at Franny Fio. Also watch News Broke on AJ Plus. New episodes every Saturday. Last Saturday, yeah, watch that. Also my Instagram, Franny Fio, blah, blah, blah. Bye.
Bye, John. Bye, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.